Joining us right now, a man that was drafted a couple of years back and went on to have a great career in the NFL. Randy Cross from CBS Sports joins us on The Fan. Hey, Randy, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Yeah, I know who's rooting the hardest, them or their agents.
You're right. They're all going to get rich, right? So take us back. What year was that this young kid from UCLA got selected and had a chance to kick off his pro career?
Well, they were just starting this trend about putting the actually air in the ball back in about 76.
Yeah.
When I came out. I came out the same year as Leroy Selman and, gosh, a whole bunch of really good players coming off those back-to-back Archie Griffin Heisman years.
Now, help me out. I think I'm old enough that I was probably still covering the draft. What was the draft like then? It certainly wasn't a three-day extravaganza on national TV. What was it like in 76 as you got ready in the build-up to the draft?
Well, that was back when it was pretty much a well-kept secret.
Yep.
That's back when the days of having it in the hotel ballroom, not really a gigantic deal. It was mm-hmm. always big news the day after as to who drafted who, but there was no combine. You were just called the day of the draft. Usually, like it still happens now, you're called by various teams during the course of the draft. But you know, I sat there and talked to a couple teams during the first round, but I lasted until the 42nd pick when San Francisco picked me up.
So, what was the 42nd pick worth? Was that a signing bonus of 10 to 15 million back then?
Just this side of that, I believe. I believe the signing bonus was a little south of $50,000.
Okay. It was enough to put a down payment on a Vega. That's how much it was. That's what Randy.
Well, actually, back then, I was able to come out of that with a. I split a condo in Palm Springs with my parents, and I bought myself a new car, and I had spending money. So it was a little bit different time.
Hey, Randy, as you look at the league now, I think everybody's curious about free agency, and it's going to be almost like releasing a dam. All the water's going to come pouring out, and everybody's going to start running, trying to sign people, depending on if it's going to be a five-year, six-year thing. Are all these guys going to be unrestricted free agents? I think a lot's undetermined, but what do you expect that to be like? Because I think it could be one of the crazier things we've seen, teams running around trying to ground up some of these free agents.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but it's such a bizarre draft process when nothing's happened free agency wise, and so you're looking at teams and you guys have seen this game for a while. You realize, you know, once this draft happens, it's going to be like silent. Mm-hmm. There won't be anything about teams and additions. So, you know, the longer this goes, let's say the judge has a ruling on Monday, which is immediately appealed, so that pushes it out somewhere near that May 16th date. If suddenly, you know, you're looking at June 1st, for instance, let's say June 1st, they lift the lockout and everybody goes back to work, you've got to do veteran free agency, you've got to do college free agency. I really think, you know, with this going the way it's looking, the teams that have the least amount of change, the least amount of free agency, that have managed it the best, are really at a distinct advantage. And, you know, if I'm a team that's changing coaches, you know, if I'm Jim Harbaugh out in San Francisco or Ron Rivera in Carolina or John Fox in Denver, right now I'm not okay, but it's starting to make me nervous.
Yeah.
You go another 4 to 6 weeks, and I think it's a competitive, severe competitive disadvantage for those guys.
And Randy, you played the game a long time, especially for the new coaches that are putting in new systems. It's one thing to elevate an assistant that was on the staff and maybe you're running the same defense and offense, but for those guys that want to put in new offenses and defenses, if this gets shrunk down into a short period, you're right, that competitive imbalance really swings the other way.
Well, just imagine, you know, if you're looking at being a team, let's even take Cleveland in the Ravens division,
mm-hmm.
and everything gets going, and everything, let's say July 1st, they're playing, and they're meeting, and then camp starts, but it's really a ramp up. You can't install everything offensively and defensively in that short a period of time. So, you know, if you play a team like that early in the season, you know, that's a great advantage for teams in your division, or even, you know, teams that aren't in your division that you play, that will be light years ahead of you, that have an established quarterback, that have an established defense. It's something the league better think about before they, you know, just sort of haphazardly say, you know, okay, here we go. Did I talk to yesterday? I talked to Mike Lombardi of NFL Network, and he said, "Well, if we're back by August 1st, I think it's okay." And all I could say was, "You got to be kidding me!
Right.
How about these guys that no one knows what they're doing on their offense? How would you like to take that to national TV in week one?"
Well, Randy, I've always felt that bigger, more is better in the NFL, and I thought the mini camps, the OTAs, that it was getting carried away. You had passing camp 1 week, and it just seemed like there was so much. You played for a guy, Bill Walsh, who you know was as complicated as anybody, but also knew how to take care of his players and would pick and choose his spots. But I think maybe the biggest impact, if this thing gets shortened up, besides those new coaches that are implementing new offenses and defenses, is that rookies aren't going to have the impact, especially early in the year, that they may have in the past, because those guys, they're coming in and have to start from scratch with a playbook. And I think rookies, it's really going to be tough if this thing gets, you know, real close.
Yeah, I think it goes one of two ways, because there's a flip side to that. Let's say, and you look at it last year, if we go back to 2010 rules or even some approximation of that, and there's no cap, but there's no floor. Look how much a team like Tampa Bay or a team like Jacksonville spent last year. You know, somewhere in that 80 to 85 million, which was, you know, some 20 million or so below what the minimum was going to be or mm-hmm. was the year before. You're talking about, why not? If I don't think I've got a shot, you know, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars and I have to make a decision, am I going to keep a dozen guys, backups, that are veterans that I'm going to have to pay a pretty good amount of money to, or do I go with predominantly young guys, take my chances, and hope, you know, I can catch kind of lightning in a bottle, but I know my payroll and everything else for this year will be pretty limited, and I can pile money up to when I'm really going to have to share, you know, in a year or two, whenever they finally get this CBA done. Rookies could be at a distinct disadvantage, but then again, you know, that borderline middle-tier veteran could become an endangered species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the middle class disappears.
Well,
there's a pretty good chance of that. I think that's one of the reasons you have that pushback by those players wanting a seat at the table.
Randy Cross, of course, football analyst for the CBS Sports Network. You got to wear many hats, and it looks like you're going to be a part of that broadcast team for Navy football. It's going to be CBS Sports, I think, this Friday at 7 o'clock. CBS Sports Network is widely available throughout the Baltimore, D.C. area on Comcast Cable. You can check it out on channel 732 and 854 in HD. For more information, you can go to www.cbssportsnetwork.com. You excited about doing so? Is this your first time doing a bunch of college
so you
stuff, is it?
900 guys on that spring roster. You're doing a lot of homework for that game, aren't you, Randy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I've done quite a bit of college over the last couple of years, both in the studio and on-site for games. I think fans will enjoy this. It's going to be fun. We're going to have players mic'd up. We're going to be talking to coaches, you know, during the scrimmage, players during the scrimmage. It'll be a whole different type of a presentation, a whole different kind of atmosphere. And without a doubt, it'll be a different way than, you know, the fans will see a team like Navy.
All right, Randy, thanks for your time today. Good luck with the middies. I always appreciate talking football with you.
No problem at all. Anytime.